Hello and welcome to the Practice Drill Podcast, episode 32. Another week of some big news in sport. This week, we have our final say ahead of the Big Bash League final between the Scorchers and the Sixers. Then we look at some of the new additions to the Waratahs lineup ahead of the Super Rugby season. Then we dissect some new rule changes in the AFL. And finally, we finish off talking about the Warriors' struggles without their star power forward Draymond Green. Shout out to Sencho for providing that killer intro, and once again welcoming in my good mate Blaze. Hey Blaze, how are you, mate?
Very good, mate. Another great week. Obviously, you know, the tennis got a lot of the Australian Open, and there's actually some Australians doing pretty well in that, in I guess the doubles and the women's singles with Ash Barty. And then, you know, still got the cricket going on, obviously a bit of Big Bash, but also the Women's Ashes. We've actually got it on the TV behind us there, so
yeah.
I'll let you know if anything happens. But yeah, it's been a big week in sport.
Well, it looks like the Aussie girls have got off to a good start yesterday. 7 for 327 to start today's play. Can they post 400 with the tail wagging?
Yeah, I think, especially only a four-day match, so anything over 300 in your first innings probably sets you up in a pretty dominant position. So hopefully, I guess they can continue that advantage today.
And you mentioned the tennis. Swaggy Nick and Kokkinakis through to the final of the doubles. Surely, I know it's a four Aussies going head-to-head. Surely they get a title at the Aussie Open.
Yeah, definitely be pretty cool to see. I guess, you know, Nick Kyrgios, he's a pretty hit-and-miss sort of character, but I think, you know, he's really been, I guess, loved these last 2 weeks, which is very different. I think the Aussie public maybe has finally come to understand that we've just got to accept who he is and his sort of antics. So hopefully they can get the job done on Saturday, I think it is.
Well, I'm very excited to see that match. Now, go and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @T_practicedrill. On Twitter at the moment, guys, we're sharing a lot of exciting stuff across the NRL, AFL, rugby union, cricket, and NBA basketball world. So you want to stay up to date on that stuff, you better follow us. But Blaze, let's get straight into it now. As I said in the introduction, we're giving our final say on the Big Bash League final now. Feels like every year these two teams, or one of them, is in the final, and it's Sixers Scorchers again. Now, what I think makes this super exciting is the history. Like, for such a young competition that's only in its 11th season, to kind of be forming a rivalry and a bit of maybe the hatred, you know, both sides have kind of blocked each other from winning titles in the past. But Sixers, they're somehow in it, even though they're short. Man, how impressive have they been late in the season?
Yeah, once again, I guess the two most, you know, as you say, consistent franchises throughout the thing. And I guess what's impressive about both these sides, it's not actually their big names that really get the job done. It's a lot of their local players. You know, you look at their leading kind of run scorers, and you've got guys like Hayden Kerr, you know, for the Sixers, and Curtis Patterson for the Scorchers, who are, you know, two local guys, not obviously in the state teams, but not really in the calling for the Australian honours even. But obviously they get in that environment and they're given a lot of confidence to go out and play freely. And you know, we've seen those guys bring a lot of success for the two franchises.
Yeah, it's been a great season for both sides. And I think even for the Scorchers, getting Mitch Marsh back and, you know, some of their big guns is really going to help. And I'm so excited for this one. I think everyone who watches cricket or who likes the Big Bash is going to get more invested in the competition when you start building those rivalries. It's kind of a similar thing to what we've spoken about in the past with some of the women's sports. You know, that's what's exciting. Is the longer a tournament or a competition runs for, the more history you get. That's how the NRL is as big as it is the AFL. So that's really cool that the Big Bash League is getting some of that now. Now, Scorchers only beat the Sixers a week ago by 48 runs, which is a pretty convincing win when it comes to Big Bash cricket. Do you think they can do it again?
I think they'll definitely be on the front foot with that. You know, I guess from the Sixers' perspective, they'll be trying to say, you know, T20 cricket, it's a brand new day and every day is pretty different. But, you know, in the Scorchers' camp, they'll be taking a lot of confidence from, as you say, a pretty dominant win. And I think if they can get out there in the first innings and lay the platform in the first 10 overs, it'll really hammer home that advantage. But the Sixers will just be looking to, I guess, you know, wipe that slate clean. They had a good win against the Strikers to make the final, and they'll be looking to, I guess, build off that instead.
And obviously one of the biggest things surrounding the Big Bash at the moment is about the Sixers. Now, a lot of injuries and a lot of COVID outs. You know, the other day they had their assistant coach wicketkeeping. Obviously, he's a cricketer, plays grade cricket here in Sydney. So, you know, he's not a nobody. But still interesting that they're having to go to these extremes in order to field a team for what is a first-class competition.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's been one of the interesting things about the Big Bash this year. Obviously, it was pretty hampered by COVID through the middle there, and then they moved it down to Victoria, and I guess it's kind of relaxed a bit. But, you know, it'd be bad to see. I guess we know the Edwards brothers are going to miss out. Hopefully, that's it. But, you know, the Sixers are also struggling with some injuries. You know, Dan Hughes is out probably with an ankle. Jordan Silk hurt his hamstring against the Strikers. And then Steve O'Keefe and Moses Enrique both had calf issues in that game. So we could see a very different Sixers side in the final. But as we've said, part of their strength has been the depth of their squad and their ability of their lesser known kind of club cricketers to step up and have confidence to perform even in the big moments.
Well, it also looks like Jay Lenton, that assistant coach, is going to get another chance at wicketkeeping with Felipe ruled out of the Big Bash final. What do you make of that? Like, he's been one of the best players in the Big Bash the last couple of years, so that's a key out for the Sixers.
Yeah, huge. Yeah, and obviously, you know, opening the batting as well, he usually sets the tone for the Sixers, gets them off to a good start. But as you say, Jay Lenton's still a pretty, you know, solid player. He's played a lot of Big Bash before, and you know, I've seen some of his innings in Premier Cricket. I actually saw him hit 100 against Western Suburbs for Manly last year, and he's a very good player, and he can hit a long ball. So I think, as we said, if it comes down to it, he can still get the job done for them, and they'll be hoping, I guess, some of their other players stand up and reduce the load on those newer guys.
So also there's a battle in the bowling between Hayden Kerr and AJ Tye. Now, AJ Tye has that first class international experience. Do you think that helps at all in just a T20 individual game like a Big Bash final, or do you think it's kind of a bit even?
I think in those big moments, obviously experience is going to help. You know, AJ Tye's done it in around the world. Obviously the IPL is the big one at the moment, and he's done it. And you know, one thing I love about AJ Tye is just the variety he brings. You know, you don't really know what's coming each ball, and you can almost expect that, I guess, most of the balls are going to be off-speed deliveries. So I think that makes it really interesting just as a spectacle to see, I guess, the skill and, you know, all the different deliveries he can come up with. And I think in a final, that's a really important thing because obviously the batsmen are at the top of their game and in some good form. So you can give them as many different looks as possible, then you're going to be in with a good chance.
And finally, who do you have winning this one, Sixers or Scorchers?
I think the Scorchers are going to get the job done. Obviously, they, as we said, they beat them just a week ago pretty comfortably. And I think, you know, they've just got a more settled lineup and some bigger, more experienced guys that are going to help them in the big game.
So I've got the Sixers winning. I just think, although they have, you know, all of their key players out, I think that's kind of a thing that they can use to, you know, hype themselves up for the game. There's no expectation to win this game. So that puts all the pressure on the Scorchers, and you lose a couple of early wickets if the Scorchers are batting. You know, they're right in the game, and they could definitely go on from there to win it. So that's my prediction. But we'll move on to our second topic, the Tars. Couple of disappointing years, but they've finally made some key signings. You know, they're coming off a winless 2021 season, so they needed to make some changes. So what do you make of the changes so far?
Yeah, obviously, you know, as you say, some big changes. They've got a new coach in Darryl Coleman who's come in with a lot of, I guess, Sydney club rugby experience, success and knowledge. So it'll be interesting to see how that sort of shapes the Waratahs squad and game style as they go on. Probably the big one for me is Michael Hooper. Comes back from his Japan sabbatical. I think it's pretty well known that he's the best player Australia has. And his sort of work rate around the field is going to be huge. The Waratahs, they struggled in the forward pack last year to get over the gain line. And I think his energy, his experience and his leadership will be really huge for them. So that's obviously a big in for them. I think they're still lacking a bit of Probably some size or physicality in that forward pack. Obviously, Hooper's a bit of a smaller back rower. So, you know, in terms of getting your tough carries, they're going to be looking at some other guys. Maybe Lachie Swinton had a good season last year and earned some Wallaby call-ups at the end of the year. He's probably going to have to take another step up and help them again.
And what about the signing of Jamie Roberts from Wales, 94 caps for the Welsh? Like, that's a huge signing for just a, you know, super rugby club.
Yeah, pretty out of the blue, to be honest. I think he's coming in as a bit of injury cover in the centres. They've had a few guys go down in pre-season with some pretty bad injuries. I think, you know, Roberts on one hand, obviously a huge amount of experience and knows what he's doing. On the other hand, you know, he is 35 years of age and he hasn't played for Wales for a few years now. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can, I guess, change his game a little bit to suit the Super Rugby style. Obviously, it's a bit quicker, a bit less predictable than the Welsh domestic game. So it's going to be a really interesting one to, I guess, look forward to this season.
And now, Curtly Beale. There's been some reports he's wanting to return to Australia in order to, you know, get a chance to play for the Wallabies come the next Rugby World Cup in 2023. Do you think he's coming to the Tars? Like, do you think he's going to be allowed back into Super Rugby? Not really allowed, but do you think teams are going to want to pick up someone who's kind of getting towards the back end of their career?
Yeah, I think fullback's probably a position that's pretty weak in Australia at the moment, and that's probably what's given Curtly the chance to keep playing for the Wallabies. And obviously he had a really good time when he was in the Wallabies camp, which has made him, I guess, want to look to come back. And I think the front runners for that signing would be the Waratahs. Obviously he's played there a lot and he's you know, went to Joey, so he's got a lot of experience in Sydney and he's a bit of a homebody in that regard. Some of the other franchises, you know, the Western Force, for example, have a fair bit of money and could probably, you know, lure him over there. But for Curtly, I think he's probably only got maybe one season and then the World Cup. I don't know if he keeps going after that. So I think the front runners with that would be the Waratahs, and they could definitely use him, you know, someone with a bit of experience and a bit of, you know, flair at the back.
Would he be coming back this upcoming season, or are we looking like further into the future?
It would probably be just for next season. It may be for the back end of this season, but we definitely wouldn't see him, I guess, till later on this season, if it is at all, yeah.
All right, well, we'll move on to the next topic with the AFL rule changes. Also, a wicket has fallen in the women's cricket, and King on debut. Is that a single? No, fourth ball. Thought it was a first ball single. There's been some rule changes in the AFL. Now, this is going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to getting into this chat. So the league is implementing tighter interpretations around hole in the ball, one of the most polarizing laws in the AFL. And to me and for you, obviously, both come from an AFL background, it's one of the best parts of the game. You're out there, you're screaming ball, you're a fan in the crowd, you're screaming ball. You know, it's that's AFL for me. It's just crazy that they're going to tighten interpretations. Now, what that means is that the umpires will be less lenient towards players who may have tried to evade a tackle, bit of a fend, a duck, or just straight out, you know, neglect a prior option to get a handball or a kick away. How much do you think this is going to affect the AFL? From a spectator's point of view,
I think, you know, we've seen the AFL, introduce a few different changes to the rules the last few years, and there's always a bit of an adjustment period for all of these things. So I think in the early rounds especially, the teams are obviously going to be getting used to what they can and can't get away with. As you said, holding the ball is one of those interesting ones where when you're the tackling team, you probably think everything's holding the ball, and when you've got the ball, you always think didn't have prior opportunity or it should be a ball up. So there's probably definitely going to be some blow-ups, and I think that's going to be one of the interesting things, just to see how particularly the defensive team, I guess, works the rule and tries to put a bit of pressure or a bit of doubt in the umpire's mind in those situations to, I guess, try to milk that the players evaded or neglected a prior option. That's always something that's interesting for me, to see how the different teams try to work the rule in their favour.
But for me, so they've outlined it as trying to evade, fend, duck, or neglect a prior option as hole in the ball. Hasn't that always been hole in the ball? Like, that's why fans get so annoyed at, like, late fourth quarter calls like that. Because that's the rules. You had a chance to get... If you have a chance to fend someone, you had a chance to handball it. Like, maybe you couldn't see one of your players, but you can still get rid of the footy, like, put it down the space or something. But it's a really interesting call, because I think if we get into the season, I think it's almost guaranteed that there'll be a late fourth quarter call where they won't call holding the ball now. It'll be kind of... You know, they're going to say, oh, we're being less lenient on it. We're going to be really strict. And they'll miss a blatant one. And you go, well, how come you will call that in the first, second, third quarter, but you won't call it now? You know what I mean? So I think it's going to be really interesting to come out and, you know, definitively say we're going to be less lenient on holding the balls. Because it is a really, you know, almost like an opinionated rule. You know what I mean? There's no exact law as this is what holding the ball is. It's up to the umpire to determine whether you had a chance to get the ball away, or you know, whether he saw him actually, you know, try to fight off a tackler. So I think it's going to be interesting. But they're planning to send the umpires to visit all 18 clubs. Apparently last year there was 200 plus visits from umpires to the 18 AFL clubs to teach them about the new rules. Obviously, the big one last year was the stand ruling. That will stay. What do you think about that? That rule sticking around for another year?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. As we said, I think there was a bit of a adjustment period, but I think once the teams got used to it, it did help the game speed up. And you know, I guess, yeah, the teams get used to it. And I think those umpire visits are pretty important just to see... And, you know, let people know what they're looking for in particular and explain, I guess, all the questions that may be out there.
Yeah, it's good. It's good that they're, you know, getting on the front foot, trying to educate the players and coaches in the pre-season, especially now in January. You know, season won't start till mid-March. So, no, I think that's great. But another rule that they're fixing is a crackdown on deliberate delaying of games. So, I was trying to read around and get an understanding of exactly what that meant, but I'm pretty sure it means when you've given away a free and you kind of stand over the top of the ball and you don't give it back. And I think that's great, because that is just, it's a little bit of a grubby thing. I mean, we've all done it in Oz Kick and juniors and all that kind of stuff. But what do you think about that? Do you think it's worthy of what they're saying is going to be either a free kick or a 50 meter rule, depending on what you do? I think the standing over the top of the ball will be a 50 meter. But what do you make of that?
Yeah, again, it's an interesting one, because I guess where you draw the line, I'm sure they'll have some key indicators around that. But, like, you know, the other classic one is pretend you don't know who's the ball's got to go to. You know, you pretend you think the free kick's given to another player or something like that. So it's going to be interesting, but as I said, you know, anything that can, I guess, speed up the game is going to be, make it more enjoyable to watch, and I guess hopefully it just takes out some of those, as you say, more grubby sort of elements from the game, even though sometimes they're pretty funny to watch.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely the one that you're talking about. I think we've both done that plenty of times playing here in Sydney. But again, I'll ask you the same question. Does that make the AFL more enjoyable to watch, seeing that kind of grubbiness leak out of the game? Or
yeah, I think, again, I don't know, because yeah, we don't know where they're going to draw the line, but I think anything, I enjoy the faster game, so I think anything to speed up the game, and especially, you know, when you see those close games, you don't want to see key seconds tick away where someone knows exactly what they're doing and is trying to act dumb. So
yeah, all right. Well, we'll move on to the final topic, and we're moving overseas to the States. We're focusing on the Warriors. Now, they're showing some cracks without star player Draymond Green, who was having an all-star season. Definitely up there for Defensive Player of the Year. The Warriors still sit second in the Western Conference with a 35-13 record, and are still, in my opinion, and to many who follow the NBA, considered to be championship contenders. But Draymond Green, their three-time championship winner, and as I said, you know, one of their defensive core players, if not the defensive core of the team, has been sidelined due to a disc injury in his lower back. Now, initially, it was listed as a calf strain, but after, you know, running tests on him, they realized that the calf strain was caused by that lower disc injury in his back. He's now missed 9 straight games for the Warriors, and during that time they've gone 5-4, which is just above, you know, 500 through that stretch. And they've also dropped off being the top seed in the West, given that up to the Phoenix Suns, who now have a 3-game lead there. But how much is this injury affecting the Golden State Warriors, Blaise?
Yeah, it's huge. The Warriors have obviously come in, especially recently with Klay Thompson coming back, and they've had a lot of hype around them. And you know, as the NBA often does, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson get a lot of the news articles, and obviously they've been in incredible form. But ultimately, you need those guys like Draymond Green and those defensively minded players to do their job really well. And that then on the other end of the floor gives Klay and Steph those opportunities. And I think, you know, they'll understand that. And you know, I don't think alarm bells will be going off for them just yet, because as you said, they're still right up there in the West. And Green will hopefully be back for them, you know, well before the playoffs start. But I think it just does, you know, shine a light on, I guess, the importance of those players, not only Draymond Green, but in the rest of the NBA that do a job maybe a bit less on the spotlight.
Yeah, I mean, you have a look at the, you know, the last 10 MVPs, for example, and you look over them, and what they do is they're scoring at least over 25 points a game. They've got their assists up there. They may have a few rebounds in the cases of like Jokic and Westbrook and that kind of stuff, but it shows how important it is to those top teams to have great defense. I mean, another perfect example of something that's happening, you know, similarly to the Warriors is the Utah Jazz, one of the best teams over the last few seasons, during the regular season at least. They've banked on their defense, and that's been from their French center, Rudy Gobert. And he went out with an injury, and they dropped from being, you know, a 1-2 seed down to a fourth seed. So it just shows how important some of these players are that don't get the spotlight of a Kevin Durant or a LeBron James, because they're not averaging, you know, 30 points a night. They may be averaging, you know, in Draymond's case, under 10, but you're a leader, you anchor the defense, and you allow your offensive players, like you said, like a Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, that get that spotlight, not to be so worried about putting the ball in the basket, because he's stopping the other team from scoring down the other end. So if you go down, hit a three, go back down, you stop it, you have this confidence that when you go back up, hit or miss, it's all good. We've still got, you know, at least, you know, a 2-3 point lead. So I think that's what the Warriors are struggling with at the moment. You know, Steph Curry's points per night have been dropping, and I think that's off the back of needing to be a little bit more of a leader on both ends of the floor, and he may be just using a bit too much energy defensively, which is needed, but just not what he is usually accustomed to. But it's saying at the moment Draymond Green's out indefinitely. Without Green, how far can the Warriors go? Are they still championship contenders without him?
I think they'll still be up there or thereabouts. Obviously, they'll probably still finish with a pretty decent seed, so you'd back them to get through some early rounds. But, you know, if they were to get deep into the finals without a Green, or with Green at maybe not 100%, I think they would struggle. Obviously, you know, look at the top team there, the Phoenix Suns. You know, they've got a great big man in DeAndre Ayton there. So I think without Green, they'd probably struggle to go all the way. But, yeah, as I said, alarm bells probably aren't going off just as yet.
Yeah, I don't think it's a need to go, then they're definitely not championship contenders, but I do think without Green, they do fall into that category. But, you know, I think there's no sign that he'll be out for the rest of the season. I just think at the moment they're not putting a timeline on it. They're not expecting him to overcome it quickly, and that might just let him to get through his rehab without, you know, needing to rush back. And 35-13 is, you know, a top three record in the NBA. So no, they're looking fine, but if they could get him back in the next game, you know, I'm sure they would take it. But that is us done for this week. We got through plenty. I tell you what, I'm excited for the Tars season coming up, man. Like, a bit disappointing to see them struggle for a couple years, and even if they end up doing that, do you know if they'll be doing a Trans-Tasman Super Rugby again at the end of the regular season?
So this season's meant to be all combined.
Oh, it is.
The original draw was to have them going back and forth, but obviously everything that's happened the last few weeks. So I think they're still planning to do it, towards the end of the season.
Wow. So even with all the bubbles and stuff, they're still going to play?
the plan.
And South Africa involved still as well, or what are they doing with that?
So South Africa have kind of shifted over to Europe. So yeah, the Super Rugby at the moment, it's just the Aussie teams, Kiwi teams, and then the new Fiji, Drua and Moana Pacifica sides,
That's exciting, and we got to talk about them next week, man, because I think that's really exciting for the Pacific nations to have, you know, some teams that they can follow and, you know, attend those training sessions and attend those live games and stuff like that. Like, that's what's exciting about supporting a team. But anyway, what are you looking forward to the most in this next week of sport?
Yeah, I think we brought it up earlier in the podcast, but that doubles final on Saturday is going to be really interesting to watch, and hopefully, I guess, win or lose, I know Kyrgios and Kokkinakis will put on a show and make it some good viewing.
Yeah, some other leg serves maybe from Kyrgios. But yeah, no, I'm very excited for that. I'm in the same boat, but I'm also looking forward to the Big Bash final. That's going to be, you know, great to have the season over and to crown a champion. All right, but until next week, go and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @T_practicedrill to stay up to date on all things NRL, AFL, rugby union, cricket, and NBA basketball. Until then, enjoy your sport, and we'll speak to you next week.
See ya.